AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Representative Julie Sandstead is going to join us. 6A, we'll go to the mighty Hibbing, which, of course, that's a Pulitzer Prize. Didn't Dylan win the Pulitzer Prize this last time around?
I am not sure about that.
Got to be proud representative up there. I loved when the high school up there, Hibbing High School, they just listed him as a graduate. Bob Dylan, you graduated. Robert Zimmerman, actually. But well done there. We'll talk to Julie coming up here in just a little bit. Also, a lot of other things to get to, but Jack Rice is going to join us right now. Of course, Jack Rice is our expert in international affairs, as well as our intelligence agencies and legal matters, and he's joining us for the latter today as we talk about Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick to replace Justice Kennedy. Jack, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
No, it's great to be with you again. Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure. This is Brett Kavanaugh is a bit of an interesting pick under the guise that it was not a name that was getting bandied about because people were thinking it was going to be one of these extreme far right. And I'm not saying this guy isn't far right, but it was one of those extreme far right names was getting put out there. He's just kind of far right light.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, what's also interesting about this, and people need to remember that there were a series of justices. All of these are on courts of appeals at this point. All four of those finalists were for the president, and all four of those were given the thumbs up by the Federalist Society. And the Federalist Society is essentially a very ultra-conservative, fundamentalist in some ways, organization. This isn't just Republican. This is not just conservative, but really in many ways ultra-conservative in terms of their approach. And for them to give a stamp of approval for somebody like a Brett Kavanaugh or even some of the others really says something about this. And that's really important. And specifically, one of the issues that the Federalist Society has talked about and really touted as one of their most fundamentally important issues is the question of Roe v. Wade. So that's really important, too.
How much do you know about Brett Kavanaugh?
A lot. He's a very, very smart guy. He used to clerk for Justice Kennedy. So that issue is important. But the other part about about this judge and what Judge Kavanaugh was this was somebody who actually worked with Ken Starr. He was part of the investigation, part of the process, and he was actually one of those who was really arguing for going after Bill Clinton. Remember, Prosecutor Starr was actually the one looking at Whitewater, ultimately looking at the Monica Lewinsky question. So he was involved in that. But what makes it interesting is subsequent to that, he was involved and working on a law review article where he actually changed his mind and said, and this is significant when it comes to this president, and his conclusion was that a sitting president shouldn't face any civil cases. In other words, you shouldn't be able to sue a sitting president for anything civil, even if it was something before his presidency, which is exactly what they were doing with Bill Clinton. But he took it a step further, and he actually said that you shouldn't be able to go after him for any criminal cases that were ongoing while he's president. And that obviously is what's going on with Bob Mueller right now. So as it applies to the president, you realize that conclusion is something that may have potentially had some significance with President Trump.
And it should be mentioned as well, that was an opinion that he put out for the Minnesota Law Review. And this actually, as people are saying, well, he's putting this out. No, he actually put that statement out. Was it 2009? Right when Obama came into power, which I think was something that initial analysis of Kavanaugh was that some conservatives felt as if him saying that at the beginning of the Obama administration negated his appeal for a Supreme Court spot. But clearly now Trump, I read this whole background on this guy. That's the reason why Trump putting him on there is because he's looking for a friendly voice on there if it ever does get up to the Supreme Court on whether or not he should face charges.
Well, one of the things that we do know about Kavanaugh is makes him unique versus a lot of the other candidates who are out there, and really most anybody else who's sitting on the court right now, is he is a political's political. He is very much an insider. He was born in Washington, D.C. He lived in Bethesda, which is just right on the border. It's where I used to live when I was working for the feds. That's a part of this issue. He was involved very deeply with the Bush administration, very much involved with the investigation itself. And this was really where he has been going from the very beginning. And he's on the Court of Appeals, the District Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. The idea that he's looking long-term is something that does not shock me whatsoever. And so he's very conscious of that. Now, let's realize that anybody at this stage, anybody at this level, they're all politicals. And I'll include everybody on the left and on the right on that, because they have to realize that that is part of the process. To be actually make it to the Supreme Court or even to the Court of Appeals, you need to be cognizant that they're going to put you under a microscope. So they're going to be very, very, very careful in this case.
A report came out, I believe it was NBC News put out a report that this actually might have been in the works for a while, that Kennedy approached Trump and said, I might be willing to retire, but I want you to consider a handful of people I think are worthy of my seat. Kavanaugh was one of them. Now, what I find to be interesting, first of all, the White House did not deny this today. They were asked point blank if there were discussions about this with Kennedy prior to his retirement, and he refused to answer that question. But the other thing is that Kennedy is an interesting duck himself. He's a conservative, but he's an old school Reagan conservative, in the sense being that occasionally he does find the left side of social issues, such as gay marriage or and when it comes down to, abortion rights and stuff like that. And I would I'm wondering, do you feel as if that, you know, he understood his position, that seat he had on the Supreme Court, and so he was trying to push someone that had similar mindsets? I know that a lot of people point to Kavanaugh being against Roe v. Wade, but I mean, I find it interesting Kennedy would then push him so hard to be the replacement.
Well, and it's very difficult to determine exactly where he's going to go on that issue, and we know that he's going to be extremely cagey on it. But what I can tell you is this, and this is the one thing about Justice Kennedy, is people have been holding him up as the moderate, as that swing vote. But what that really highlights is one point that I think is missed a lot, and that's that there has been a massive shift within the court itself. Let's be clear, Justice Kennedy was a conservative.
Yes.
He was not a moderate. He wasn't leftist in any sense of the word. What we have seen is a particular dive to the right, and the idea that he was the fifth member, that he was the moderate, really says an incredible amount about where the court is going right now. You need to think about the likes of a Thomas and a Roberts and a Scalia and what that actually means. These are, dare I say this, really very extreme when it comes to the right in terms of their interpretation. And the idea that Kennedy was right there says something about it. Now, as to this other question of whether or not he was involved, it's a really interesting question, because in many ways there is that human nature piece of this that says that I look back at my life, I look back at what I've done, do I want to perpetuate that? Would I like somebody to take my seat who has that same mindset? That's interesting. It will be very interesting to see if more comes out about this. There are a lot of issues that are out there that need to be addressed. It does seem likely to me that you're going to get a confirmation of the likes of a Kavanaugh, simply because there's been a change in the rules in the Senate and in the Senate Judiciary Committee, because there was a time when you needed more than 51. Now you need only 51. And in this case, the Republicans have all the numbers they need, so long as they can get everybody in their party to agree. What's unfortunate about that, however, is that I think the benefit of having a supermajority, the idea of having 60 or more to actually all agree, really required both parties to find a way to work together. And sadly, changing the rules as they have, as the Republicans did, is that what this does is it creates even a larger schism in society, where the Republicans can essentially say, look, we only have to get our own. We essentially are here to represent the Republicans, not the American people. And you're excluding half of society who will now look at this issue and simply say, they don't care what we think. And in many ways, the Republicans themselves could say the same thing and say, we don't care what you think because we don't need you. And that's a real problem in the country right now.
Well, and I just can't wait for McConnell and the rest of these clowns when the Democrats do take over the Senate, which eventually will happen again. And there's a Supreme Court nominee and they basically do it without the filibuster, screaming about how what a grand injustice this is. You can't, I mean, the whole argument they've had, and I mean, what's interesting is they're trying to, McConnell and Orrin Hatch, they're out there trying to make the argument, well, the no filibuster rule is only for Supreme Court justices. But people were saying, you start down this road, it's eventually going to get rid of the filibuster completely and get to the world which you just described, where everything is just what our party wants over uber alles. And that is, it is kind of a scary principle, but it's going to be hilarious when the Republicans argue about how dare you not give us the right to stop this.
No, you're saying this really from the top down. I mean, that would be my largest criticism of this president in many ways, is that he has seen the desire to sort of divide and conquer, and he sees as the us versus them and the them being the entire Democratic Party, calling them every word that you want to call them, when in fact what we've generally seen from most every president prior to this as somebody who said, I'm the president of all of the people, not just of a particular few. And the problem that you have is when you have that philosophical bent and it runs all the way down from there, you have the potential and the argument and the justification that could simply be, guess what, majority rules. The problem is that the Constitution was designed to do more than simply represent the majority. It was designed to protect the minority in this case. And that is one of the concerns that I think we have to see right now. What will be interesting, though, Matt, is that when we look at timing, the thing about Kavanaugh is that Kavanaugh has been on the bench for more than a decade. And so he has a lot of opinions, which means there's going to be a lot of paper when it comes to that. But he also has a lot of time when he was working in the Bush White House, and then before that, working for Ken Starr. And so there's a lot of documentation that has to be acquired and put before all of those members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the idea is they need to jam this confirmation through by October, because it has to be done before the midterms. Because from the Republicans' perspective, if the worst of all world happens and that the Dems were able to take back the Senate, they could actually stop this confirmation. And that's one of the issues Republicans are looking at. So at absolute latest, they're going to get this guy before the Senate Judiciary Committee sometime in October.
Jack Rice, once again, jackrice.net, joining us, right, for all your Jack Rice needs. Jack, the Roe v. Wade is obviously the big decision they're wondering about, but I'm not sure what you know about this, but the Supreme Court can't just all of a sudden say, we're going to re-rule on Roe v. Wade. They have to wait for a case to get up to them, which is not a quick process. Is there a case in the hopper right now that's coming up that actually puts Roe v. Wade on the potential chopping block, or would they have to start from square one today to get a case up there with potentially Kavanaugh on the bench?
Well, you got to realize that's part of what the Federalist Society is about, is that any time you look at cases that would essentially go before the Supremes, the purpose is to literally cherry pick, to get the case that has that issue in a very narrow parameters so you can make the argument that you want to make. And so they will be watching cases that are nationwide. And these are cases that would already have gone up potentially through state courts or into the federal court system before they get to the Supremes, with the very intent of putting it before the court on this issue. Now, my expectation, and this is how I see this playing out, and this is really the argument that the Federalists themselves have been trying to argue from the beginning, is the reason that Roe v. Wade is bad law, the reason it doesn't work and it doesn't hold up, and this is their argument generally, is that it's not a constitutionally protected right, and that what it really should be is a right that actually is given to the states to make the determination. So they're going to try to hide behind the argument that we're not trying to say that we should ban and outlaw abortion. That's a question for each individual state to be arguing. But what they're going to try to do is to negate the logic behind concluding that there was a federal protection and a federal right to an abortion. And that way it rolls back to the states for the states to decide. Because what the states will do, and there's a whole bunch of them, we can go into Texas and Florida and Georgia and Alabama and a whole series of others, who have basically made the argument that we're going to limit and narrow and cut all the various things that are going on to make abortions essentially illegal and impossible. They have tried to do this in Texas. there are cases going on in Texas right now that may actually fall within these parameters that they're going to drop before the court. And if they can get five judges, they get five justices, that's all they need to say, this is actually wrong, because they have overturned their own precedent in the past saying, we made a mistake. They just did it in the last couple of weeks with Karamatsu. And that's the case with the Japanese internment, and it was driven by one of my favorite justices of all time, and that's Sotomayor, who actually came in and said, what's going on in a particular case is similar to that, and they had to overturn that one. So the idea that the court could come in and say, we have made bad decisions in the past and we're going to overturn it, they may have the justices to do it. And that's exactly what the Federalists have wanted, and that's actually what President Trump specifically said he was going to do. I'm going to put justices on the bench that are going to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's what he said. And frankly, now that he has Gorsuch, and now potentially that he has Kavanaugh, you add Thomas to that, you add Alito to that, and realistically, you're good to go.
Yeah. And by the way, that would open up an insane can of worms on multiple levels if you ended up having states like Texas prosecuting their own citizens for going to a state like Minnesota where abortion would be illegal, and getting an abortion would then they prosecute that person upon return, or what it would do for cases like legal marijuana in some states, because it kind of underrides the Department of Justice's argument that you can't have individual states' rights on this. It really does seem to be they're dancing on a fine line on this.
Well, you take a look at the argument there. I mean, that's always been the question here. That's really the debate about this idea of the originalist, the idea of making the argument that we're trying to interpret the Constitution as it was written. Mm-hmm. And the problem that comes with that is that means that you would have to limit the parameters of it to what it was that the original founders were thinking about when they drafted that Constitution. But the problem is many of the arguments made by those same originalists essentially that very issue, they're trying to claim that we're not outcome-based, we're process-based. But the problem that comes with that argument is if you look at those that they support, including the Kavanaugh, they're looking at his outcomes to decide that they're going to support him. So that simply undercuts their very argument.
Fascinating stuff. And then, of course, we have Thomas and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who are both quite getting up there in age. And it's going to be interesting to see, because regardless of all this stuff with Kavanaugh, this is the one thing you can say to the Democrats. Well, Thomas is really the next big linchpin, and Ginsburg. And if Ginsburg can make it to the next presidency, which hopefully will be a Democrat, then you got to ask about Thomas. How long is he going to stay on the bench? Because if Thomas resigns, then basically it's lobbing back into the liberals' court, where they could put a fifth judge on there who could be a true liberal for a long time and end up holding the cart for the left.
Well, you can always consider it this way, too, that if the Republicans can continue to control the Senate, you may have a Thomas who turns around and says, you know what? I'm going to get out now. I'm going to get out in this window of time to make sure that a Republican can actually put somebody in my position. And in fact, you can remember there were actually Democrats who were making the very same argument about saying that RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, should have resigned under President Obama, because at least then there would have been some control in terms of replacing her. But again, of the two justices on the bench right now who are really fighting the fight on the left, that would be Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You look at the dissent that came down in a recent case and some of the work that they're doing, it may be some of the best of their entire career, if that's your ilk. On the other hand, you may consider them the most evil on the bench, if that's your ilk. I'll leave that to various people.
One quick final question. You brought up Thomas. So say the Democrats do win the Senate. Would there be enough time between the election and the new Senate being seated for them to be able to have him resign and basically put another justice on the bench? I mean, obviously McConnell would push it through, but would there be enough time to do it?
I think that would be very, very hard to do in that window of time when you consider how fast that would be. My gosh, because that would be November 2nd. No, I don't think you can do it in less than 60 days.
All right.
I don't think you could do it that fast.
All right. Well, and right now they're going to hold off until Kennedy's seat's filled. So Jack Rice, once again, jackrice.net. Jack, brilliant as always, and we'll spotlight this interview. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. Jack Rice, a great visit with him. Wow. Good information there. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. And once again, Julie Sandstead, 6A representative. She's running for re-election up in the Northland. We'll talk to her in a little bit as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I can't disguise the pounding of my heart. It beats so strong. A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Friendly Crystal.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
The only thing better than being outdoors soaking up that summer sunshine is coming into a nice, cool, air-conditioned house afterwards. So if you're looking at updating or buying a new AC, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has some great systems at $700 off during July. There's even easy financing options available on approved credit. It's no sweat. Really, no sweat. Call today and ask how you can save $700 on your new air conditioner. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Some restrictions apply.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Minnesota, it is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, the thing which I find to be the, you know, when we talk about this, once again, it's when you look at this Supreme Court and how things are, all right, when you look at how this is, Kennedy wasn't, he occasionally found a moderate point of view, occasionally. He wasn't, I mean, take a look at the rulings on the union, take a look at the rulings on immigration just from the week he retired, for goodness sakes. He wasn't nearly this, you know, middle of the road guy. Some people have labeled him as. He just wasn't. He just wasn't. And I think that, you know, it comes down to really two people here, Thomas and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And by the way, I disagree with Jack on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They would have never. It didn't matter that the Scalia seat came open in the final year. McConnell would have never opened up Ginsburg's seat for a vote 2 years before that. They would have held that seat open for the election. And then they would have held the second seat open when Scalia sat, you know, they would just basically said, we hold them open until then. Now, would that have gotten more people to vote? I don't know. You would think to yourself, hey, guess what? The Supreme Court's on the line. I better get out there and vote. The way you solve this problem is this. Get out and vote in 2018. Get out and vote in 2020. Get out and vote in 2022. Get out and vote in 2024. Get out and vote in 2026. Get out and vote in 2028. Because if they can't, you know, eventually they're going to have to replace some of these guys. And Alito's not necessarily, I mean, he's not old yet, but he's, you know, in 10 years, he's going to be looking to retire too. You make it, you don't just hand one political party this kind of power by basically sitting on your ass and not voting. get out there and act like this is important, or else get to a point where we're going to have, you know, abortion vacations where people travel to Washington or Minnesota or Massachusetts from Georgia and Florida and Texas to have abortions. Cause that would probably be where it's going to go. You know, if Jack's argument is correct, that it's that the argument that their federalists are going to use to try to, knock down Roe v. Wade is that it is not a federal mandate, that the federal government should not dictate whether or not this is legit, this is individual states' right, well, then that's where it's going to go. We'll have to see how that goes. Reminder, once again, we have, the ability for you to sponsor the radio station if you so desire. Todd Colet is sponsoring us this week. Thanks, Todd. We do appreciate it, from Spain. Of course, Todd wants us to mention about his band, Just Folk. Grounded, the fourth album, comes out in September. We're going to get to that in a little bit here. But right now, you can go over to Bandcamp and listen to his first three albums, Second Sunrise, In the Middle, and Another Shore. They're available. You can get them, download them for free. Enjoy. Thanks, Todd. We do appreciate that. If you'd like to sponsor the radio station, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. When we do return, Representative Julie Sandstead joins us, 6A. We're going to talk to her. She's Democrat of the Day. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. If you haven't spent any time with me, check me out every afternoon, 5 p.m. on AM 950. I'm a lawyer, but I also know a lot about politics. I know about civics. I've worked in politics, worked on campaigns. I'm here to teach law, civics, politics. A little bit of humor. We have silly sound clips. Check out what we're doing every afternoon, 5 p.m. on AM 950, where justice is served. The Norman Goldman Show.
Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion, is excited to announce the opening of its new store, located off Broadway and 35W in Northeast Minneapolis. Now, here's what we're going to do at our new store. We're going to sell all the best brands at guaranteed unbeatable prices. Then we're going to deliver and install them right and fast. It's been a long time since a new appliance store opened in the city of Minneapolis. You can see us from the highway. We're on the east side of 35W, next to Boyer Ford. Come for a visit soon.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
By the way, just got a message. Jack might be heading to D.C. for the confirmation in October. We'll see if we can chime in. If he does get out there, I'll definitely have him back on the air. Indeed, Hazel's Northeast, eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. You talk lunch, I talk breakfast, because I love breakfast with them. They're just fantastic. Biscuits and gravy, the black bean cakes, the hippie cakes. Hippie cakes, yumbo. Go check it out over at Hazel's Northeast. It's 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Democrat of the day, we are heading to the Northland and some of the most beautiful country. I can say so because my cabin is in her district. Representative Julie Sandstead from 6A is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and how you can help out as well. Representative, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Yes, I have a cabin on Sand Lake, and that's your district over on Eastern St. Louis.
It is.
Yeah. All right, strap in then, because I got, as a constituent, I've got some issues. No, I'm just joking, Julie.
On.
You are a little bit of an anomaly. You were a brand new DFL representative in 2016, one of the few that did happen. And you ran into the open seat, and 6A stayed on the DFL side.
Yes, it did. I was labeled a political neophyte.
I take that in a positive light, for sure.
I think it's a compliment, absolutely.
For everyone out there who might not know exactly who you are, explain exactly who is Julie Sandstead.
Julie Sandstead is a lifelong resident of the Iron Range in Hibbing. I joke with people that I never made it very far in life because I still live in the home that I grew up in. I'm a wife, a mother of three. I'm a public school teacher for the last 24 years. I'm an elementary music specialist. Involved in my community, city band director, involved in my church as a coordinator for Sunday school programs, choir director, and so on.
By the way, I love that you're an elementary school music teacher. My three kids, all three of them have been blessed to be having great music teachers in elementary school that start them on a path through life of just enjoying the arts. And whether or not they play it long into their life or they just play it through their school days, it is such an important element of our education system, is encouraraging that music and encouraging these young minds through the appreciation of the arts. And thank you very much for doing that.
Well, hey, I appreciate the plug for the arts. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I think there's so much right now that the schools have to be responsible for and look at. But really, when we get into the arts, I think that's such an aspect of what helps really round out our society and round us out as human beings. About the importance of all of the arts.
Absolutely, and when you look at the way this conservative education policy has stripped civics and the arts and advanced programs from schools, it's so important that we hold on to these programs, because it's not. I mean, I will tell you this: my son gets A's, and one of the reasons he gets A's is because he's been in band. And I will preach that till the day I die. My kids get good grades because they play music and they are involved in the arts, and it helps their brains not just when it's learning an instrument, but it helps them in all their subjects.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of evidence-based research that shows, people involved in music, especially when they start at the younger years or in their younger years, a much better coordination between the right brain, left brain, and that serves us well throughout life.
Your district 6A is one that the Republicans desperately want to pick up. They tried very hard last time. You did win this seat. They're going to throw a ton of money into this district again. It's Hibbing. It's kind of northern Minnesota, Hibbing, just gorgeous country. Hibbing is the most recognizable town there, but it's a fairly large district, correct?
Very large. It goes up to Big Fork, Effie, about 10 miles south of Redwood, for people who might know where that is. Over on the eastern edge, it is Mountain Iron Buell, kind of the boundary, and then Marble Calumet on the western edge. So it's a very large district.
Yeah, and obviously it is a district which has had a strong DFL history there. I mean, it's been proud Democratic territory.
It has been. It has been. And, there was quite a Republican wave that went through in the last election. And I think one of the things that made a difference, where some of my neighboring districts lost DFL seats and I was able to hold on to it. I think I resonated, or on my campaign, I really talked about core values and what matters to Minnesotans, to families, the importance of education, just transparency in government. And like I said before, you know, they kind of labeled me a political neophyte, and I think that was a little refreshing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, up here people are looking not for the same old, but somebody who's going to work hard and fight hard to represent, you know, middle-class America, and I think I did that.
Well, and the Republicans aren't fooling anyone. All you're doing is electing – when you elect a Republican, all you're doing is electing a rubber stamp for Kurt Dowd and the puppet masters that control him.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well spoken.
This year, I imagine, once again, the money's pouring in. Let's talk about it. You've had 2 years in there. What did you want to try to accomplish for 6A in the next term?
Well, absolutely. You know, education is always at my forefront because it's I've lived it my entire life. And I think everything else that I want to accomplish will circle back to a strong public school education system. So, you know, protecting, promoting, and improving our public education, public schools, and then specifically District 6A, we really need diversification in our economy up here. Mining is the backbone, and I'm a firm supporter of mining, but it is a boom-bust industry, and, you know, we have good times and bad times, and we need something to help stabilize and kind of help us, you know, where when times are tough and kind of get through those times. So diversifying our economy, I think, is going to be another huge focus for me, as well as, and I think it piggybacks perfectly, broadband expansion. We desperately need broadband up in my district, in rural Minnesota, and I'm going to speak for rural Minnesota, not just my district. But we cannot and will not be able to attract new companies, new, you know, development, that type of thing, or retain unless we have broadband in our back pocket. As far as I'm concerned, it should be a utility like water, electricity, anything else. And that's critical. And really, our state has underfunded for far too long. So I'm going to keep pushing for, you know, broadband expansion.
I want to, you know, let's talk a little bit more about this. Is one of the things in outstate Minnesota that's unifying. I don't care where you're up in on Lake Superior or if you're down by Pipestone. And I specifically, we've talked broadband a lot with Southwestern Democrats, DFLers running in Southwestern districts, because it's the great nullifier that we are used to an economy where basically it's what you have around you. You got lumber, you're a lumber area. You grow cranberries, you're a cranberry area. You grow wheat, you're a wheat right. area. What broadband does is it completely removes those boundaries, and that any manufacturer can move into any district and bring their product and their wares, and they can ship. And it nullifies the barriers that prevent business expansion, and yet the Republicans, and let's remind everyone of what the Republican policy has been. They've talked broadband. They've refused to fund it outside of a handful of communities.
Correct.
And right. they themselves, even though they keep promising broadband, will not fund it. And the Democrats have tried to put forward broadband. I think it was Governor Dayton, $125 million to expand broadband. And then Republicans right. knocked it down because they don't want to pay for this. This is a needed small business growing essential in outstate Minnesota.
You know, you've said it so perfectly. It's more than just expansion of business. However, it is as far-reaching as everybody's health care. We talked about education just a moment ago. It is the way education is being delivered in many ways, and students are expected to submit assignments. In my district, and not far from your cabin, I have a bus driver who stops at a certain point, pulls the bus over on the side of the road to allow students to finish their homework on the bus because they have connectivity at that point. But once they pass a certain threshold, you know, a certain road, they no longer have connectivity. So they can't download assignments. They can't upload their assignments. They can't be prepared for the next day. So that's what we're dealing with. And if we want, you know, really future generations to be able to compete, it's not a luxury. It is a necessity. Now, you know, with healthcare, there's so much going towards telehealth and ways of containing healthcare costs. And that could be done, you know, remotely. You could be doing so much more and so much more affordably and responsibly. But we don't have that option because we do not have the broadband, you know, backbone in place.
And there's the other element of it. That's something numerous other Democrats running in Republican districts have said, is that, you know, this is for healthcare. And we talk about this you know, growing wave of a more elderly community that needs a healthcare system that is responding to the community it serves. It doesn't do you any good to have someone drive from their house an effie down to Hibbing just to have, you know, be able to review medical records. They should be able to have some more local representation that can at least get that broadband in place so that they can have a more effective medical system.
You know, we live in a terrain too that is very subject to weather. And when winter hits, we shouldn't be expecting our students, our elderly, anybody to have to get into a vehicle to drive to a local McDonald's, to go to a public library, to go to some place where there's a hotspot that they can connect with in order to do what is really 21st century living. We should be up to the 21st century. We should be, you know, I think every Minnesotan should have the same opportunities. And I'm really going to put a plug here for rural Minnesota. We need this. And we've talked about rural metro divides, you know, in the 2 years that I've been down at the state. And some people say it exists and some people say it doesn't exist. And I'm going to tell you, in this area, it sure does. And I'd love to have some of those metro legislators, Republicans. I'd open my door and invite them up to my communities to bring in from their devices and try to get something done in the system that we have.
Julie, I want you to tell me if any DFLer ever says there isn't a rural metro divide, you send me on in there, for goodness sakes. That is not an acceptable answer. That's just brushing off a problem you don't want to deal with.
Absolutely.
It's like school funding in outstate Minnesota. It's broadband. It's, you know, the looming trade war. There are issues that are very important and integral to these rural communities that might not be a blip on the metro area screens, but for God's sakes, if we do not, and we're all in this together. We are all in this together.
Absolutely.
If the DFL.
Last year I was go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, any DFL are giving you that line, you send them to me in the metro area and I'll take care of that, okay?
Oh, perfect. I was going to say, last year I was the chief author on the broadband bill and I asked for $100 million, which wouldn't have even covered a fraction of what we needed to get done, but it would have been a step in the right direction. And under Republican leadership, they came back with $7 million, which is nothing. And we had to fight and fight and fight. And by the end of session, we were able to get up to $20 million, which, you know, it's all helpful, but it's falling so short. Our needs, you know, and we're really disenfranchising generations on both ends when we can't provide the very basic needs. And this is not, like I said, this isn't luxury. This is when you're dealing with healthcare or education, these are critical pieces. It's not just about shopping online, although, you know, those are conveniences that people have come to expect. So, again, absolutely. Diversifying the economy, talking about education, broadband, our elderly, our vets up here. There's a lot. Our roads. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we can definitely. I've been on Minnesota One by Effie. we can definitely talk about
it. I'm sorry. I am meeting with the Department of Transportation on Thursday to have a conversation about some of these roads. It was kind of funny. I saw on Facebook the other day a quote where somebody had put, in England, they drive on the left. In my community, we drive on whatever's left because the roads are in such poor condition. But it was a perfect summary of what we're dealing with up here.
It is. And right now, districts in the outstate Minnesota are not being served by this Republican House because, once again, they're being told what to put forward. They're keeping it from the public eye. They throw it on the Democrats at the last second saying, vote now, and then act like they've done something. They've done nothing, and they have failed after 8 years of them promising broadband. They are not going to deliver it. We need a Democratic House that's going to do that, and Julie is part of that. So the music teacher from elementary school, I imagine you must be pretty good with parades. And your district, your district's got some humdingers of summer festivals. I want everyone in the metro area, listen to me in the metro, help your local Democrat, of course. But if you're in a relatively safe Democratic district, I want you to get into outstate Minnesota and help Democrats that are in rural districts and help, in the case of Julie, get her back into St. Paul. And I mean, it is a magnificent district to visit. 6A is just as gorgeous as the state gets. There's a lot of beauty up there. You can do some volunteering. I imagine, do you have any parades this weekend coming up?
This weekend I do not. Hibbing just had their Jubilee this last weekend. I've got some coming up in Floodwood. We've got one coming up in Effie later on. We've got another one in Meadowlands. Chisholm has one coming up in August. So definitely, you know, more opportunities. And I want to say this. Anybody from the metro area, I would joyfully invite to have come up. And I think it serves us well when we get out of our own community and go into somebody else's to see what life is like in another part of the state. And it goes both ways. Talking about that rural metro divide, this is a perfect opportunity to kind of, you know, give somebody an eye-opener on what we deal with and what our communities are like. It just helps us understand, you know, one another better. So come on up, walk a parade with me, carry a sign. I don't necessarily throw candy. I'm a teacher. I give out pencils. So there's a lot of fun there.
Well, we can encourage all the people that march in the parade. You can take a break, wait for the next float behind her to throw the candy, and then get back in line. There you go. That's perfect. My suggestion.
Perfect.
But we're all in this together. We need the outstate. We need the metro. We need to work together. And this is a great way for you to do it. And once again, 6A is gorgeous. Chisholm's Festival is great fun. You can get up there, go help out, door knock, make phone calls. Or if you want to make a donation, let me give you the website here, everyone. Julie Sandsted. It's S-A-N-D-S-T-E-D-E. com. Julie, J-U-L-I-E, Sandsted, Sandstede.com. Once again, you can find out how to volunteer, how to make a donation, and help send Representative Julie Sandsted back to St. Paul from 6A. Julie, this has been a pleasure. All my best as you get through the summer here. And by all means, thank you very much for being Democrat of the Day.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Be well, and hopefully you can come up and join one of my parades. I look forward to meeting you.
Since my cabin's in your district, I'll find some time for that for sure. Julie Sandsted, once again, joining us 6A. We'll take a final break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W on Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, can be your personal connection to extraordinary artists, stories, and context. We offer more exhibitions and events than ever before, from concerts and lectures to vodka tastings and more. Open daily, free parking, and a great Groupon deal. Find out more at tmora.org.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Now, through July 11th, Warner Stellion guarantees unbeatable prices on hundreds of top-rated appliances, including laundry pairs starting at $499. Save 10% on select Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers, then save more with free installation from our trusted specialists. Unbeatable savings on kitchen suites and all the hottest new finishes, like slate from GE and matte black stainless from LG. Buy at the lowest price guaranteed. Then relax and trust our specialists with all the rest. Through July 11th, and only at Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Well, we mailed it in today. Jack and Julie, wow. Hunter, it's not like we didn't even work today, huh? I don't know if we'll do it tomorrow either, because tomorrow I've got Jeff Stein, and then whether we'll have a Democrat of the day, I don't quite know, but we could be busy tomorrow as well. I will say this about outstate Minnesota is that here's the deal. These people are Democrats, and they believe in a lot of the same things that you do. They absolutely do. Don't believe this pandered narrative that, oh, there's this big split. No, they believe in equal rights. They believe in treating they don't believe in baby prisons, for goodness sakes. And it's stuff like this when Trump pardons these two clowns out in Oregon that basically, there are these extremists, these militia guys, he pardons these people. That doesn't resonate with them. It just, there's no common connector there. Get out into outstate Minnesota and find out what I'm talking about, and go help out in Julie's campaign or any of the Democrats of the day we've talked about. Raspberry Festival, I will mention this. I got my selfie posted up on the social media page. Interlochen Park, that's where I had to go today to get the selfie. Still lost in the clue. I'll see if I can figure that out. I do believe we have Doug Padgett coming on in here for the next hour, so sit back and enjoy. We will be back with Stein on a Wednesday. Till then, see ya.